This is chapter number 5. Genesis chapter number 5, and we're going to read a few verses over there. I thought I had in my mind what I was going to preach on this morning, and then I got to studying about it last night and sort of had a change of heart, or the Lord changed my heart, changed my mind, and so we're going to read a few verses in Genesis chapter number 5, verses 21 through 24. I guess I preached on Enoch here, but it's been a long time ago. It's not this exact message, but some of you are familiar with Enoch in the Bible. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 21, down through verse number 24, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do want to thank you for letting us be here today and the many blessings that you've given to us. And I pray and I ask, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts from your word today. I pray you'd help me. I pray, God, you'd give liberty. I pray you'd give freedom of thought. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts as individuals, Lord, that we might examine our lives, that we might think about, Lord, what life that we have. Lord, that we might live it for thee. We're thankful for the examples that we find in the word of God, and we pray for your help today. Lord, especially if they be one that's lost, I pray you'd show them their need of salvation. And then, Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us that are saved by the grace of God, that are your children. Lord, that you would just have your way in our hearts. And we'll thank you for what you do. We come and ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back to verse number 21, and we'll just read part of that verse. Look what the Bible says. "And Enoch lived 65 years." Now, if you read chapter number 5, there's a lot of various ages that are mentioned here. Methuselah lived to be the oldest man, over 900 years, the Bible says. A lot of these lived to be 700, 800, 900 years. And so somebody might look in the Bible and say, how is that? Nobody today lived to be 900 years old. You have to realize that when you start in the book of Genesis from creation, everything was perfect. Everything was good. Sin entered into the world, but it was still a perfect world. From that point going forward, things begin to deteriorate. And so men and animals, and once upon a time, trees grew bigger. I mean, it was a different world all the way up until the flood. And then we realize after that the average age of man in the Bible begins to go down very rapidly. Before the flood, men lived to be a great age. After the flood, it wasn't too long. Moses, he lived to be 120 years old. By the time you get to David, King David in the Bible, the Bible said man's days are 70. That's 70 years. And if by reason they be 80, that's 80 years. And you know that is still the average today, about somewhere between 75 and 80 years old. Man's lifespan has stayed about the same. But when we read in the book of Genesis, they lived a whole lot longer than they do today. Now, the Bible said still in verse number 21, "And Enoch lived 65 years. Talking about Enoch being 65 years old. And it doesn't say that it was his birthday or anything like that, but I had a birthday yesterday and just got me to thinking about birthdays. It got me to thinking about you come to a certain age in your life. You know, after a while, birthdays are not a big deal. You know, they're a big deal when you're young, when you're going to, 3 years old, 5, 10, 13, 16, 18, whatever the case might be. But about after 18 to 21 years old, they're not that big of a deal anymore. You don't think about it. You don't look at it like you did once upon a time. You grow up. You move away from home, out from under mom. and dad who's going to make a big deal out of your birthday. You get married. Maybe you get married. Maybe you have children of your own. Maybe you have a career, a life of your own, and life happens, and birthdays, they begin to roll around. A lot of times it seems like they roll around quicker than they used to. You know, when you're a little kid, if you ask your mom, say, "Mom, how many days till my birthday?" And she said 10 days. Why, you think that's forever if you're 8 years old. But we know if you're grown and any age at all, 10 days is nothing. 10 months is nothing. Life rolls around, and birthdays come very, very quickly as we go along. James chapter 4 and verse 14 said, "Wherefore, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." That's what it seems like it is, like put a kettle on a stove and boil the water and the steam goes up. And the writer in the Bible compares that to our life. It's just here for a little time and then it vanishes away. Life gets gone very, very quickly. And the emphasis as far as birthdays are concerned goes from, "Boy, it's my birthday and I'm going to get a present." Or, you know, when you're young, "I'm going to get a present," or "I'm going to have a party," or "I'm going to have a birthday cake," and all like that. That seems to be the emphasis. When you're young, you look forward to getting your driver's license, maybe when you turn 16 years old or something like that. But the emphasis goes from looking forward to it to looking at it as just being old or being older than you were. And you don't think about a birthday like you used to. You think about, "Well, I'm just getting older," and people are so gracious to remind you of how old you're getting. They give you black balloons instead of red and orange and purple and green like you used to be. And they give you a party, you know, and they start really when you're pretty young, 30 years old, 40 years old. You start getting over-the-hill parties and people making fun and giving you, you know, hearing aid batteries or a cane or something like that, and they begin to make fun of you getting old, and they do things like that, give you birthday cards and make jokes, you know, "How was it coming over on the Mayflower?" and stuff like that, and, you know, just poking fun one at another, and all kinds of birthday cards. And I got a birthday card from somebody, I won't say from whom, but they're in the room, and one of them's my dad and Lynette, but they gave me a birthday card, and I read it yesterday, and I didn't think much about it to begin with, but it's one of them things I got to thinking about. And I want to share it. In fact, I'm going to use part of it for my title this morning. But it said on the front, it said, "Remember, you might be older than you've ever been before." But on the inside, it said, "But you're also younger than you'll ever be again." You're also younger than you'll ever be again. And I want to use that as my title to the message today. You're younger than you'll ever be again. I got to thinking about that. That sort of puts a positive light on it. I might be older than I've ever been before, but today I'm also younger than I'll ever be again. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. Was Enoch, the Bible said he was 65 years old. Was Enoch old or was he young? How many thinks Enoch was old? He's 65 years old. Two honest people in the whole congregation. I guess everybody else thinks Enoch was young. But whether or not Enoch was young or old, I got to thinking about this. Did he get a late start? Was he a late bloomer in life? I mean, 65 years old to have your first child, that's, in our way of measuring, you know, that's getting on up there. Was Enoch a late bloomer or was he a youngster? Now, by our standards, he would be too old to be having children. But now, here in Genesis chapter number 5, the two youngest men that are mentioned in this passage of Scripture, one in verse number 15, Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. So he was 65 when he had his son Jared. And then down here, Enoch, he was 65 and begat Methuselah. So they're the two youngest men mentioned in this passage of Scripture. Now, Enoch's son Methuselah, he didn't have his first child until he was, verse 25, and Methuselah lived, and 187 years, and begot Lamech. So in comparison, Enoch, he's a youngster in this passage of Scripture. He's 65 years old, but he has his first child when he's 65 years old. No matter how old you are, you're younger than you'll ever be again. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1, he said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." He's talking about remembering God, serving God, living for God. If you read all of Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, while you feel like it. Before you get to the place in your life where you say, "I can't, I'm not able to." He said, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." No matter how old you are, you're always young enough for some things. And I'm going to show you three things out of this passage of Scripture that you're always young enough for. We emphasize old, too old, getting too old. But there's three things in this passage of Scripture that you are always young enough for. Number one, you are always young enough to be fruitful. You're always young enough to be fruitful. Verse number 21, the Bible said, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." He had a child. That's fruitfulness. Verse number 22, the Bible said, "And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters." So he didn't just have one son. He had many sons after that. He had many daughters after that. Enoch, although we might say, well, he got a late start in life, he turned out to be very fruitful in his life. Genesis chapter number 18, I preached over there a little bit last week and was talking about Sarah and Abraham and the three men, the Lord and two angels. They came and they visited with Abraham, had a midday meal with him. And over there, Sarah was listening through the tent, or she heard through the tent, that the Lord told Abraham about the promise of a son. The Bible says over there that the Lord promised that Abraham would have a son. And Sarah heard that through the tent door. And the Bible says that Sarah laughed at the thought of having a son. If you know anything about the Bible at that time, Abraham would have been about 99, almost 100 years old. And Sarah would have been 89, 90 years old. And so she laughed at the thought of having a son. Genesis 18 verse 11 said, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women," meaning that it ceased to, that her body quit functioning in a manner that she could have children. And so she laughed at the thought of having a child. You know, we can't be too hard on Sarah. You and I might laugh at the thought as well of an 89, 90-year-old woman having a child, and she laughed at the thought. She even said, "Am I, being old, going to have pleasure in my husband?" She just couldn't imagine it in her mind that it was even possible for her to have a child. So she laughed, thinking in herself that she's too old. Enoch was 65 years old. He's 65. Can you imagine that? I mean, in our age, he's old enough to retire. He can start drawing, and he didn't even retire early at 62. He got to wait till he's 65. He can start getting a check before long. When we think about that, we think about 65 years old. I've lived most of my working life, and now it's time to retire and get a, start getting my retirement income. We're thinking about stopping, not starting. Enoch is starting. He begins to have children when he's 65 years old. We may laugh at that. You know, in Genesis 18, 14, going back over there, when Sarah laughed, The Lord said in Genesis 18:14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" That was the answer. Sarah, it might look like this is impossible to you. Abraham, you might think you're too old for this, but the angel said, or the Lord said over there, is anything too hard for the Lord? We're not talking now about having children and being fruitful. We're talking now about our lives as the children of God and being fruitful and bearing fruit for the Lord. You're never too old to bear fruit. You're always young enough to be fruitful in the work of the Lord. Thought about many, many examples. I got to have lunch and talk with a man back this summer, and his name is Rick Lanier, and he is over the In God We Trust Foundation, trying to go throughout all North Carolina and go to the different courthouses and to get In God We Trust, which is our national motto, put on the courthouse. And maybe you've seen it over in Boone, and it looks very good. I'm glad to drive by and see that above the courthouse doors as you enter in, it says, In God We Trust. That is our national motto. When I had lunch with Brother Rick, he told me a little bit about his life, and he's retired, and he talked about, I said, tell me how you got started in this. This is not something he's been doing his whole life. It's something he's been doing since he retired. And he told me how it came together, and it's not just him, but it's some others as well. But he told me about a little bit about his life story and how that he was retired and had some rental property, and that's how he made a living. But he told me about how God laid this on his heart, and he just had a vision for it, and he started doing this for the Lord after he retired. He's not a young man as far as starting. He lived his working life, and he decided, and God laid it on his heart to do something for the Lord. You're always young enough to be fruitful for the Lord if you have a desire to do that. I thought about this past week. I met a lady at the church I was preaching revival in, and she took a few minutes and told about her life a little bit and her husband and how that she had had a career that lasted 45 years and she had a successful business and she had been very involved and traveled all around the United States and evidently been pretty successful in what she was doing. But after all those years, sold her business. And now she works and tries to help out in crisis pregnancy centers. She's telling about going around and helping and doing this and doing this, and didn't sound to me a bit like she had retired, but she had just redirected her life. And now when some people would say, boy, I'm just about done, while she's just getting started. She was excited about serving the Lord and what she was involved in. I could not help but think about Sister Louise. Sister Louise Cornett here at church. And how that many years ago, and I didn't know her when I was younger. I mean, I guess I was running around and, you know, like that, but I didn't know what all she was involved in. But I'm telling you, in her later years, she was a soul winner. She went to prison. She went to ladies' prison. She went to youth places to minister, and she's just going and doing something all the time. You'd never talk to her and say, now, you're too old for this. She wouldn't have had any part of that. You're always young enough to be fruitful in the work of the Lord if we just have a desire and a heart to be fruitful. As I study the Bible and the Word of God, I find that there's many people in the Bible that were fruitful in their latter years. In fact, they were more fruitful in their latter years than they were their younger years. I see many, many examples in life. I see, you know, you go in a lot of churches. Church is not just for old people. But a lot of young people might think that. But who's keeping things going for the most part? Who's the ones that's invested their life and involved? It's the older people. Older people in a lot of churches. Thank the Lord for that. You can be fruitful. God does desire us to be fruitful. I even see examples in nature. There's some apple trees on our property over where we live. And No doubt, I don't know if my grandparents or great-grandparents planted them, but they were sure there when they were living. I was looking up behind the house the other day up on the hill, and one of them real old apple trees, I mean, it was just loaded down. It doesn't sit up there on the hill and say, I'm too old to make any fruit. I mean, it just keeps on keeping on. I believe God would desire that in our lives, that we would just keep on keeping on for the Lord just as long as God gives us breath and ability and desire to do so. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 16, He said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. God desires for us to be fruitful. You know, when you get older, you may not be able to do as much as you did once upon a time. But if you're working in the work of the Lord, after a while, something great begins to happen. God uses multiplication. God uses spiritual compound interest. And what you do for the Lord, He is able to take and to multiply. And it's really amazing. Because after a while, naturally, we do slow down. But God takes the work of our life and the fruit of our life, and He multiplies it, and He blesses it. You'd be amazed how God can use a faithful Christian life. You may have an impact on somebody that you've never met or known anything about. But somehow through your service to the Lord, it had an impact. Now, a few weeks ago, the other night at school, it's probably been three Thursday nights ago, Brother Phil Arnold came over there and he had a young preacher with him. Young preacher out from under his ministry, out from under his church. And a few years ago, Preacher Greg Thompson, he started this thing of, he said that he's a preacher boy under me. So like Paul and Timothy, he was my son in the faith. And then he got to laughing about it, and he said, well, there's some others that had surrendered to preach under him. That made them my grandson. And so if now Brother Phil has a young preacher out from under his ministry, that would be my great-grandson, preacher boy. Isn't that a blessing? Now they started that, I didn't. But you never know in your life what an influence it has. And if we live for the Lord as we should, your life will have an influence. There will be fruit. There will be an impact there. You're always young enough to be fruitful. We might look at Enoch and say, man, you're 65. You don't need to be thinking about that. But he's just getting started. And he had Methuselah. And he had sons and daughters. And he had fruit. You're always young enough to have fruit. Number two this morning, you're young enough to be faithful. Enoch was faithful. Now, Enoch was not faithful all of his life. In fact, as I read in the Word of God here, I believe that the Bible is teaching us that Enoch was evidently not faithful. He didn't walk with God for the first 65 years of his life. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And then look in verse number 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Look at verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. So if you do the math there, between 65 and 365, that means, and the Bible tells us there, that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. He was faithful. The birth of a son had an effect upon him. And you know, a lot of times people go along in life and they're not serious about their walk with God. They're not serious about church. They're not serious about the things that they really ought to be serious about. Now, if the birth of a child won't change a person's heart, I don't know what will. Because when you have your first child, he has an influence on you. You look at that child, and if you have any sense of any responsibility or seriousness in your life, you look at that child and there is a weight of responsibility comes over you, and you say to yourself, oh my, it's not just me anymore. It's not just me and mama anymore. It's not just two kids starting out in life, but now there's a major responsibility in your life. And I have a son, I have a daughter. They depend upon us for everything. We've got to raise them right. They're going to turn out good or bad, a whole lot depending upon how we raise these children. If having children doesn't make you be serious with the Lord, I don't know what will. Make you think about life, make you think about responsibility. And this had an effect upon him. It changed him somehow. Maybe that's when he got saved. You know, that's what we call it. Maybe that's when he trusted Jehovah with all of his heart. He changed his life. He began to walk with God from that point forward. Now, his parents always desired that for him. This is a godly line of people here in Genesis chapter number 5. And his parents named him Enoch. Enoch, the name itself, it means to be initiated or dedicated or consecrated. He finally begins to live up to his name. And he begins to walk with the Lord and give his life. And the Bible said that he walked with God for 300 years. Man, that's a long time. We are blessed with many, many examples here at Mount Lebanon. I don't have to read a book to find examples of people that have been faithful to the Lord. We've got a lot of examples of people. We've had a lot of funerals in the past 10, 20 years. A lot of examples, godly examples of people faithful. Faithful way on up into their old age. If I begin to go down the line, I'd miss somebody. I could take a long time. And I wouldn't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but I think about different people in the church from time to time. How faithful they were and what a blessing it was to me and what a blessing they were to the church just by being faithful. Miss you, Layla. Sister Kathleen, I told Kim, you know, she lived right here. I can't drive up to church, but I don't think about her. Think about her health. If anybody could have said, you know, I just don't feel like it anymore, nobody would have blamed her. But I went and seen her in the hospital, and she'd been very, very sick. And she told me, this had been more than a year ago now, she said, Preacher Wynn, I'm coming back to church. And it took her 4 or 5 months. But lo and behold, come in one Sunday morning, right there she sat. Faithful. You young people need to think about that. What an example that we've had laid before us. I think about Sister Mary. If anybody wouldn't have felt good, she had diabetes, or her husband is sick. She had all kinds of, anybody would have said, that's all right, don't worry about it. Right there. Right there. We came to youth meeting one night. This has been several years ago now. Sister Mick was here. It was a youth meeting. Sister Mick's here, sitting right in her spot. Sister Jeannie's here. Come to play the organ for the youth meeting. We were laughing about it and talking about it afterwards about Sister Mick, Sister Jeannie, and they came and took part in the youth meeting. And Sister Jeannie, she said, Mama always told us when the church doors was open, be there. Faithful. Faithful. God doesn't expect us to go out and climb Mount Everest. There's a lot of things maybe we cannot do, we'll never do. Some people will never preach. Some people will never go to the mission field. But I'll tell you what, you're never too old to do. You're always young enough to be faithful. Just to be there. Many others we could mention. I appreciate so much Brother Dwight. He's 100 years old. I don't believe Brother Dwight would rather be anywhere else today than where he is sitting right there. Rather be right there. He's told me many times, loves to sing in that choir. Faithful. Faithful. You can't make it on Wednesday night. What are you going to tell God when you meet him? You didn't think the Lord would say, Brother Dwight came, he's 100 years old. Sister Mick came. Sister Eulalia, these ladies were up in their 90s. Many others. What about them? What about faithful? Enoch was faithful. He walked with God. I think many times we get in our mind, we're too old to do something, and I can see, I'm being honest this morning, I can see how tempting that would be, because the older you get, you don't feel as good as you used to. And we were laughing at school the other night, me and Brother Tull and Brother Kenneth, we was talking about church service and being out, and Brother Tull said, to be honest, I don't like to drive after dark anymore. And I said, I feel the same way. I don't enjoy it like I used to. Driving after dark, you just can't see as good as I used to. That's why the older you get a bigger vehicle. Can't see how I used to. I want a vehicle that's got real bright lights on it. But I can see how we would use that as an excuse. But you know, to be honest this morning, if you can get around at all, if you can go to town, it's amazed me down through the years who can't go to church, but they can go to town, they can get their hair fixed, they can go to Walmart, they can go to the doctor's office, they can do a whole lot of other things, but now they can't. Now, it just boils down to this, what do I want to do? If I can do everything else that everybody does, then I can be faithful to the house of God if I want to. I'm not being mean this morning or being smart about it this morning, but it's just being honest. You're always young enough to be faithful. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's talking about being faithful to the house of God. Moses really didn't start doing anything for the Lord until he was 80. He was 40 when he went into the wilderness. He spent 40 years in the wilderness, and he didn't come back to deliver Israel till he was 80 years old. Noah didn't start working on the ark until he was 500 years old. Talking about being faithful, years ago I used to go down and preach in Lenore at a church called the Crossroads Baptist Church. His brother Kevin Broyhill's grandfather, Brother Paul, and used to go and preach for him, and I'd preach several meetings down there. And every time I went to that church, there was a man come in. And every time I was there, he would stand up and testify. He had the Spirit of God on him when he would testify. And he would always say something like this. He would say, I didn't get saved till I was 65. He was in his 60s. He said, I've been an alcoholic and a drunk all my life, but I got saved when I was 60-some years old. He'd brag on the Lord. He was there every time I ever went. The only reason I remember him is because he was there faithfully, and he always testified and said the same thing. And now 20-some years later, I can remember him standing up saying, I didn't get saved till I was in my 60s, but God's been good to me. He'd sit right there every time. Every time, come to revival, come to church. Faithfulness we're talking about. You're always young enough to be fruitful. You're always young enough to be faithful. And last of all, this morning, you're young enough to be finished. Look at verse number 23, what the Bible says. And the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Amen. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch is the type of the rapture of the church. God literally took him to heaven before the flood came. It's a picture of the rapture before the flood. That's what, before the great tribulation. That is what that is a picture of. But sometimes when somebody passes away, we say God took them. Either way, Enoch was here and he was gone. I mean, God took him, but we relate this morning to dying. We think that's old. Well, he was 365 years old. That's old. They wouldn't have had a funeral service for Enoch because he didn't die, but they might have had a memorial service when they realized he wasn't coming back. When they got together to remember Enoch's life, no doubt somebody said, how old was Enoch anyway? Well, he is 365 years old. But they would have said it like this. He was only 365. And they would have said, he was too young. That's awful young to go. See, you read the whole chapter, and a lot of these men lived to be over 900 years old. He still had 500 or 600 good years left in him. It'd have been like one of us dying at 30 years old. That's too young. That's too young for him to die that young at 365 years old. But one day, just like that, without any warning whatsoever that we know of, Enoch was there, then Enoch was not there. Maybe Enoch went for a walk. Maybe Enoch went to pray. We don't know exactly all the details, but Enoch was there one morning, and by supper time, Enoch was not there. Enoch was gone. And in the context of the rest of the men in the Bible here that we read about, we would say that poor old Enoch, he was still a spring chicken. He was in the prime of his life when God took him. But God took him. You're never too young to be finished as far as this world is concerned. When we were out in Idaho, we become friends with a pastor down in Ogden. His name was Brother Mark Short, and I'd preach for Brother Mark, and he was a great encouragement to us there in the ministry. And his church was a large church for out west, and they had a family camp. He asked me to come down. I'd preach the family camp. We'd been around them. If you go camping with somebody, you get to know them real quick. You get to fellowship with them. You get to be around them. And they rented this, I think it might have been a Boy Scout camp or something. I'm not exactly sure, but we spent several days, had a good time of fellowship. And wasn't long after that, Brother Short had planned to go. He had a daughter that was a missionary in Papua New Guinea. They were going to go down there and visit with her, and they were excited about that, get the family back together. He's a young man. They went down there to visit, and we got news that Brother Mark had been out with his sons. They'd been out swimming, and an undertow had come and took him away, and he had drowned. And it shocked everybody. It was just like if Enoch getting gone. Here's a young man. What a great ministry and what a great influence for the Lord. And we begin to roll around in our minds. Why? Why would the Lord do that? Why would the Lord allow that to happen? I'm a firm believer every one of us got a day. Amen. And as it is appointed unto man, once to die. But after this, the judgment. None of us are too young to be finished. I thought about Preacher McCurry. He was 64. Young. That's what everybody's saying. All of a sudden. I mean, he taught for me on a Thursday night. He preached for Brother Forbes on Sunday morning. He sang on Sunday night up at Calvary. Last song he ever sang, sheltered safely in the arms of God. That last verse talks about soon I will go. And by Monday, he was in heaven with the Lord. It's too short. Why? None of us are too young to be finished, and none of us knows the day nor the hour nor the time when the Lord might call us home, when the Lord might take us. None of us have the promise of tomorrow. But I want to be like Paul. You know, Paul, he sort of had an advantage. He knew his days were very short. He knew that he was going to have to give his life as a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is writing to Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. If you know that Paul was getting ready to die, what he's saying to Timothy there, he's saying you better work while you got an opportunity. Make full proof of thy ministry. Don't waste your time. Your days are going to get gone. That's what he's writing to Timothy and saying, you better do while you can. He said in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. They cut his head off. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He said, my days are short, they're numbered, I'm going to heaven, they're going to kill me, but I have fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Amen. It ought to be our desire. We're going to get called. The Lord is one day, all of us, one way or the other, might be in the rapture. That'd be all right. Might be by the grave, but He's going to take us, all of us. I do not want to be hauled off from the sidelines. I won't be carted off the field. That ought to be our desire. Want to be carted off the field. I don't want to quit because I'm old, and I'm not old. I'm younger now than I'll ever be again today. And you're younger today than you'll ever be again. And so when you think about that, it ought to cause us to say, not I'm too old, but I've still got some kick. I don't want to do something for the Lord while I have some kick left. Now, old preacher Billy Sunday, he used to talk about, I want to fight the devil and want to fight him with all I've got. And when I don't have any teeth, I want to gum him. He wanted to hang in there for the Lord all the day so we could be like Paul. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.